In the last episode of A Higher Branch, I explained why we can fall into a state of self-sabotage caused by internal suffering and living in the land of regret, resistance, and blame. I shared with you the antidote, my four-step process for practicing acceptance. But I also touched on how finding purpose and meaning in your life can prevent self-sabotage from happening in the first place. So in today's episode, I'm going to teach you the higher branch method for finding meaning and purpose so you can live the life that you deserve, one filled with progress and fulfillment. I'm Sam McCool and welcome to A Higher Branch. Hello and welcome to another episode of A Higher Branch, and a special welcome to a lot of new listeners. We're getting hundreds of new listeners every week, and thank you to everyone for liking, commenting, and subscribing. It's really helping us move forward with this podcast, and I consider you all ambassadors, so thank you again. Okay, I want to kick off today's episode by asking you a few questions. Does a person who has started a business and is hiring people, developing products and working on their marketing plan and promotions, do they have time for self-sabotage through self-inflicted internal suffering? No. Do you think a mother or father who has one, two or three children, who has to prepare their lunches, take them to school, pick them up from school, read to them at night, help them do their homework, do you think they have time for internal suffering? What about the person who started a new exercise regime and a new nutrition plan with determination and focus? Do you think they have time to wallow in past regrets? No. Or do you think an artist who's writing the next album, the author who's writing the next book, who wake up every day and take action in the direction of that dream, do you think they have time for internal suffering? No. No. So the point I'm making is this. Anyone who has goals in the eight areas of life has purpose and meaning. And anyone who has other people relying on them has purpose and meaning. So having a purpose and meaning prevents you from slipping into that state of suffering. One, because you don't have time, your energy bandwidth is taken up with your purpose. And two, meaning comes from having others relying on you. Notice that the title of this episode isn't called How to Find Your Life Purpose. I've heard that phrase many times, and it's a cliche that makes me cringe because we don't have one life purpose. And when you tell someone, find your life purpose, a lot of people sit back and think it has to be something huge. Oh my God, what is my life purpose? Should I be an activist for climate change or to become a leading surgeon or making the Australian soccer team? So automatically people think, I have to find my life purpose, and that becomes a stress. What is my life purpose? Where is my life purpose? How can I find my life purpose? In truth, we have multiple life purposes that are wrapped up in our identity. Under the higher branch method, our purpose in life is in eight areas, and our meaning comes from those same eight areas. Now, if you are new to a higher branch, the eight areas of life is your health, your love life, your family, your work, your friendships, your continued learning, your wealth, and your charity. And purpose and meaning is very personal in each one of those eight areas. It's not externally facing, it's internal. It's how you feel, whether you feel you have purpose and meaning in your life. It's not judged by what impact you have on the world. It's your little corner of the world. Now, if that ends up having an impact on the whole world, then that is an unintended consequence of living a life of purpose and meaning. So let me explain this a little bit further, or why I consider that. Because when someone finds what they think is their number one life purpose, and they completely immerse themselves with that purpose, it could be your life purpose is to be an artist and pump out art, right? Or musician. The problem with that is that singular purpose becomes your identity. And if your identity is one-dimensional, for example, if your life purpose is to be a rugby league player, what happens when you retire from that at a young age? Or a Formula One driver, right? What if you're an artist and people stop buying your records and, you know, times move on and that's what happens, right? Then you stop being that artist. What happens if you're a mother or a father and the kids grow up and leave the home and now you're an empty nester? I'll tell you what happens, right? This is when people experience an identity crisis and then they lose purpose and meaning in life. And then they drift in the direction of their greatest weaknesses, where they turn pain into internal suffering and stop climbing higher in life. They stagnate. And it's a saddest state to witness. So the truth is, we have multiple purposes which give us multiple meanings in our life, and it defines our identity holistically. So if one or two or three of those go missing and we have to reinvent ourselves in one of those eight areas of life, during that period where you need to reinvent yourself, you've also got other parts of your identity to keep you moving forward in life. So the ultimate way to find purpose and meaning to keep you moving forward in life is to define your identity holistically. So I'm now going to take you through the eight areas of life under the higher branch method and give you examples from each and persuade you and convince you. I'm going to put my lawyer hat on and persuade you that by having your identity defined in these eight areas, then you're going to become impenetrable to negativity. You're going to become impenetrable to what I call the land of regret or resistance or blame. So here goes. Let's kick it off. I'm going to now explain how each one of those areas, those eight areas of life, give you purpose and meaning. So with health, health is measured by your energy levels. The tree of health is the one that supports the seven other areas. Your health is defined by four energies: your physical energy, your cognitive, as in mental energy, emotional, and spiritual energy. And by having goals in your tree of health, that gives you purpose and meaning. Let me explain. So if your goal when it comes to your physical is to have high energy, is to sleep well, is to have peace of mind, is to be relaxed, is to be able to digest your food well enough, is to be able to sleep peacefully, or it may be more specific goals like running a particular length or distance. I used to run marathons, and that was a goal that I had when it comes to my health. Or it could be even more granular, like I have goals when it comes to my blood test results, my lipid profiles, my blood pressure. And so you can get very specific about your goals when it comes to your tree of health. And by waking up every day and pursuing that goal, whether it's eating healthy, having a great night's sleep, and having a bookending your day with a healthy routine in the morning and at night, meditating, journaling, exercising, stretching, whatever it is that you have in your toolkit to live a healthier life, that gives you purpose. So you tick that box because the tree of health fills the fundamental human need for energy. And by having goals and dreams and taking action towards those goals and dreams when it comes to your health, that's one part of your identity ticked, right? That gives you purpose and meaning. Now let's look at the next tree of life, and that is the tree of love, your love life. Love fills the fundamental human need for intimacy, both physical and emotional. We have a strong primal instinct to seek a partner, and from that partnership, we get physical intimacy and emotional intimacy. Now, I know this is a controversial topic, and I know there's people out there, you might be listening thinking, well, I don't need a partner in my life. I'm happy with my life as it is. And of course, you can be happy in your life as it is. But we do have that fundamental human need. It's primal, and you can't actually dismiss it. You may be fine without it, but with it, you are much more powerful. You are much more creative. Love for someone that is close to us, and I'm talking about romantic love, triggers inside of us passion and a sense of connection between our mind and our body and our soul, where you look at anything in history that has been created, a work of art, a song, a bridge that was built, a building that was created. Anyone that has designed something great, you'll notice that they had a muse, they had their inspiration was the partner in their life. So why would you let that source of immense power go to waste? So if you are single and your goal is to find a partner, and you sit down and you write down in detail what you want your future partner to look like, their values, their standards, what they look like physically, you know, their height, the color of their hair, the color of their eyes, whether they're funny or not. Now, that may sound weird, but you need to get really specific about the partner that you want in your life. If you are single, you need to at least be in the game. You need to be putting yourself out there, and that gives you purpose. How does it give you purpose? Well, because it's a goal. So when you wake up every day and you say, well, I want to look my best, I want to feel my best, because I want to be in a position to meet this person that I've designed in my journal, I need to be ready. And by being ready, you subconsciously, you have a purpose. Now, if you are in a relationship, you find purpose and meaning by having goals in that relationship. Where do you want to be as a couple in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, in 15 years' time? Do you still want to be the couple that holds hands in public, that kiss each other hello and goodbye, the couple that, you know, makes love regularly, the couple that goes on holidays together, the couple that has picnics together, the couple that reads books together, watch movies together, the couple that has children together? That visual of your goal for that relationship gives you purpose. And the meaning part comes from having that someone in your life that you're going to impact by having those goals. Now, let's look at family. Family fills a fundamental human need for unconditional love and support. Have you ever noticed that all athletes, when they're performing, have their family in the crowd? Why do you think that's the case? Now, I can tell you, it's not because they want their family members to, you know, cheer them on. Of course, we all want people cheering them on, but they've got a whole stadium of people cheering them on. But the real reason why athletes have their family in the crowd is because they know that their family is going to love them whether they win or lose. It gives them permission to fail in life, because they look to their family and they say, that person or those people sitting in that crowd love me no matter what. When I go home tonight, they're going to hug me and they're going to tell me that they love me no matter what. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's why one of your goals when it comes to the tree of family is to build strong bonds with all the people in your family that are closest to you. Now, if you have kids, you need to build a strong bond with each of your kids. With your partner, of course, you need to have a bond. With your brothers and sisters, you need to have a strong bond. By building strong family bonds, that gives you purpose. More importantly, it gives you meaning, because you know that bond that you're going to develop with each family member is going to have a positive impact on their life. Remember at the outset what I said, purpose comes from pursuing your goals. Meaning comes from the impact those goals have on the people in your life. What a beautiful impact to have in the area of family, especially if you have kids. Now, let's move on to work. Work fills the fundamental human need for fulfillment. And most of us have jobs that impact other people, so it also gives us purpose and meaning. I mean, you could be a hairdresser that gives so much happiness to your customer when they walk out. You could be a landscaper or a barista or a doctor or a lawyer or a videographer. But true meaning comes from seeing how our work impacts the lives of others. Now, let's look at the tree of friendship. Friendship fills a fundamental human need for belonging. We have a strong desire to belong to a group, to a tribe. And that is primal. It's a primal instinct, because in ancient times, we survived as in groups. We survived in tribes. And when we were banished from that tribe, that meant certain death for us, because we survived. Someone hunted, someone gathered. And as a result, we all thrived. So we have a strong desire for friendship. In my journal, I write down every day under each area of life. So under friendship, tonight I'm having dinner with a friend that is dear to me, and that is a part of me filling that fundamental human need for belonging. I'm always staying in touch with my friends. My friends and I go for drives together, or go to the bar together, or go to the footy together. And that's an important part of my life. So I consciously write down activities. I consciously organize events for my friends because that then gives me purpose and meaning. As I said, I carry this journal with me every day, the Higher Branch Journal. Incidentally, if you'd like to buy one, it's on our website. And that's divided in the eight areas of life. You know, the left page is the action page, what I'm going to do for the day, and the right page is the reflection page, what I thought about what happened in the day. But this is always there for me. And that in itself, if I get lost in these segues where after I finish this podcast, I think, okay, what am I going to do next before I grab lunch? I will open this journal and I'll see, okay, what have I got organized in the tree of health, the tree of love, the tree of family, the tree of work, the tree of friendship? And that gives me purpose. The very act of reading that task that I'm going to do in that area of life gives me purpose and it gives me a sense of belonging. And with that comes meaning. It enriches the meaning of life. I value my friendships. Now, let's move on to the next area of life under the Higher Branch Method, and that is the tree of learning. Learning fills a fundamental human need for growth. As humans, we need to feel like we are growing and developing, progressing. And the only way to do that is to continuously learn. That's why I'm always listening to audiobooks, podcasts, and it's a phenomenal, you know, time to be living in human history because we have so much exposure to incredible writings and incredible audio from people who are pioneers. And so if you ask me, what am I learning? In the past, I've learned on how to be a better father to a teenage daughter. More recently, I'm learning a lot about AI, staff engagement when it comes to work. I'm reading about how to be a better partner in a relationship. A special shout out to Dr. Jen Mann, who's written an excellent book called The Relationship Fix. Hi, Jen. I hope you're listening. So you get my drift. By writing down under the tree of learning all the books that I want to read and all the books I'm currently reading. So I'll virtually write down for the day what I need to listen to, what chapter and what book that I'm going to listen to. That gives me purpose. And it gives me meaning because I know what I am learning is going to either improve my health or the happiness of the people closest to me. Because the better I am, the more informed I am, the more then I can add value to the people in my life. Now let's look at the tree of wealth. How do you gain purpose and meaning from that? Wealth fills a fundamental human need for freedom. And we need to have goals when it comes to wealth. Firstly, let me tell you what freedom means. Freedom means to live life on your own terms. So you can do what you want whenever you want. And the first step to defining your wealth is to define it in the eight areas. As I said, there's a symbiotic relationship between these eight areas of life. So by defining your wealth holistically, that's the ultimate freedom, where you can live life without regard for money. Because having good health, peace of mind, high energy levels, the tree of health, that is your wealth. Having a loving relationship, that is your wealth. Having a family that loves you unconditionally and a strong bond with your family, that is your wealth. Having a job that gives you fulfillment and working with a team that inspire you, that is your wealth. Having friends that make you laugh and friends that you can turn to, that is your wealth. Having the opportunity to read books and listen to podcasts and audio books and expand your mind and expand your knowledge, that is your wealth. So defining your wealth in that way gives you purpose. But a magic thing happens, though, when you define your wealth in those terms, in non-monetary terms. You end up putting yourself in a position where you do make money, because ultimately money is a measure of value transfer. And the more value you add to your life, the more value then you will add to other people's lives. And the universe magically rewards you because it brings good things and good people to you, including clients who want to do business with you. And ironically, I found that the people who define their wealth holistically end up making the most money. So, okay, we can't ignore the monetary side. So what are your goals and dreams when it comes to money? Do you have a savings plan? Where do you want to be in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time? What does your retirement need to look like? And what do you want to invest in? Is it shares to begin with? Is it real estate? Do you have a stockbroker? Do you have a financial planner? You need to have goals and dreams when it comes to your wealth, and that gives you a purpose. So having goals give you a purpose, and the meaning comes from the impact this money will have on the people in your life. And that leads me lastly to the tree of charity, and that is the fundamental human need for contribution. We value ourselves in equal proportion to the value we add to others. And you've often heard me say it. And hey, I may repeat a lot of things on this podcast, but I know I'm repeating them because it's stuff that we need to hear over and over again. So I want to ask you, what are your goals and dreams when it comes to contribution? How are you making a contribution? Again, there's a symbiotic relationship with these eight areas. You start off with yourself. Are you being charitable to yourself? Are you taking care of yourself? What about your partner? What contribution are you making in their life? Are you supporting them? Are you continuously making them feel valued? You know, writing them little notes in the morning or sending them text messages about the beautiful things that you love about them. It reminds me of something that the tennis player Andre Agassi, I read his book called Open many years ago. One of the beautiful things that I remember reading in that book is that every morning he would wake up before his wife woke up, and his wife, incidentally, Steffi Graf, and they'd have a whiteboard in the kitchen. And on that whiteboard, he would have a different message every day. And it would be simple things from memory. It was like, I love the way your hair falls over your face when you're in the kitchen cooking. Or I love the way you eat a mango. Or I love the way you hold our child. You know, whatever it is. So my point is, charity isn't something that's huge and dramatic, right? And it needs to start with the self. It needs to then go to your partner. Then it needs to go to your family member and with your job as well. If you have a job that is impacting other people's lives, that is your contribution. As I said, there's a symbiotic relationship between these eight areas. And when you climb higher in each of them, and you have goals in each of them, and you wake up every day and you take action and you write things down in your journal and you're moving towards each one of those goals, I promise you that will give you holistic purpose and meaning, a sense of expansion, like your life force is going outwards, like your energy is unlimited. And I promise you, when you're in that state where you found that ultimate sense of purpose and meaning defined holistically by the eight areas of life, you become impenetrable. You will deal with pain, with setbacks, like you would when you go over a speed hump. Nobody goes over a speed hump and goes back and rolls over it time and time again, right? And in life, that's what will happen when you define your purpose holistically. Anyway, I hope that makes a lot of sense and has given you some sort of direction and giving you a clearer picture of how you find purpose and meaning. And as I said, it's not something that is grand on the world scale. It's your own little corner of the world. And I find that when you take care of your little corner of the world, then the whole world is a better place, because your energy just cascades outwards to the people in your life, and then they too pay it forward. And on that point, please pay it forward. If you love this episode and know someone that would benefit from listening to it, please share it with them. And if you'd like to do so on social media, you can tag me in it, Sam McCall, or on Instagram, it's Sam_ahigherbranch. And I'm going to leave you with the same message I leave you with at every episode. And it's an important reminder that every morning is the dawn of a new day and your opportunity to hit the reset button and start a new life. On that note, I hope you have a great day, and as always, live consciously, my friends.